Good evening, everyone. This is Joan.
And this is John. Welcome to our April 3rd, 2018, Ask the Archangels. It's going to be another exciting evening, so we can get started. The group has requested, let's say that way, that the questions tonight only be about the topic that they're going to present and not about any personal issues. Of course, this is just to benefit the entire group, as you know. They'd also like the questions to be short and concise so that more of the group will have a chance to speak. This, of course, will assist them to expand on the subject that they brought to our attention this night, tonight, and, of course, they feel it's pretty important. And by the way, these sessions are recorded and will be put up on our website in a day or two. So now let's all take a deep breath and assist Joan in bringing forth our guests for the evening, plural.
Greeting. It is I, Kutumi. I have come to be with you this evening, but I have not come alone. There are many from the Master Realm who are with me this evening and will also be part of a collective consciousness that will be answering your questions. However, I will be in the forefront as Master Kutumi to be the voice for the entire collective consciousness of the Master Realm. Now, this is a little unusual. Generally, we like to come as an individual because you, as humans, individual, Christed beings in a body, relate at that individual level and are more receptive to us at that level. These are such auspicious times, and we said that to you many, many, many times. This is a time not just of a shift in consciousness, but this is a time that is preparing all humans, as well as the earth, to ascension into their original Christed state of consciousness. It is a very important time in the involvement of planet Earth and of all humans. This ascension that is now underway in a very accelerated way provides many opportunities for each one of you to create differently, to create from a fifth dimensional template of love and unity, to use your thoughts and your emotions more precisely and consciously. This is what is needed in this time, to choose the thoughts that are in alignment with your divinity, those thoughts that you think on a consistent basis. And if you find yourself thinking negatively more often in the course of the day because of the stress of the day's events, take a deep breath. Deep breath. And try to relax the tension that you have created in your body. This alone will shift your ability to think more positive, loving thoughts, either about yourself or about others. You know, dear ones, it is equally as important for you to learn to love what Source has made in your soul and in your spirit, as well as your body. You were created in that image. So how could you be less than? How could you? So opening your heart to yourself is as important as opening your heart to others. To have compassion for their failures when they've missed the mark or they act inappropriately. It doesn't make it all right. But at that moment, they are doing the best they can. And most of these actions that are inappropriate are out of unconsciousness, are created out of unconsciousness, or out of ignorance. How many times in the course of your life have you missed the mark? Because you didn't pay attention, you were unconscious about what you were thinking or how you were thinking, this is part of being a human in a dense body. This dense body of yours oftentimes limits your ability to see the brilliance of the light that shines within your soul and within your heart. So, in times when some of those thoughts about self relate to unworthiness, or I should have done this, or I could have done this better, or I am stupid, this does not help you to change habits that keep you limited. It only restricts the beauty from flowing to the surface so others could see what Source created in you as that individual expression. Make every effort daily to see that in yourself, and when you do, you will see it in others. So let's begin this evening and have all of you make comments about what I have said or about your experience of some of these things. Ask your questions that may be pressing on your mind about how you are navigating these changes that are upon you now as your life begins to flow in a different direction.
Thank you, Master Kadumi. We are certainly pleased to have you with us this evening, as well as the rest of the masters that you brought with us, and for that, again, we are very grateful. We do have a couple of questions that have been sent in, so let me handle those and get those out of the way to start with. One of the first ones that this lady has written in, and she is asking for a little bit of maybe a definition, I would say, of how the manifesting and creating on the fifth dimensional level versus the third dimensional level, and how is that different, and how can we do that with ease and grace and be able to handle both levels, which, as you know, having been here, is a real challenge.
Yes. Well, first of all, cultivating a state of awareness is primary. Now, we've talked about the density of the body. The human body, that was created or what is in use now and came into being prior to 2012 is a third dimensional body that is in the midst of great change. The body has a consciousness, and the third dimension is based in a very dense template of fear and separation. So it's very difficult for those who are asleep or who are very limited in their awareness to understand that they are not separate from the source of their being. So rather than get into judgment and fear over those expressions, by being aware of the thoughts that you think, being aware of the feelings that you feel on a consistent basis will help you immeasurably to shift out of that third dimension and into that fourth dimension, where you begin to realize that you have choice in what you think. You have choice in what you feel. Now, that said, there is a space within that being aware that is called a space of neutrality. This will also help you immeasurably, where you don't immediately respond or react to a feeling or an emotion that you think someone else caused. You have a choice in how you are going to react. You have a choice in how you are going to feel. This space of neutrality will help you see things more clearly, will help you pay more attention to the things that you consistently say or the emotions you consistently use. Now, the other part of that neutrality that will help you a great deal is when you are tempted to judge yourself harshly. This stifles your creativity. Judgment is always followed by guilt, and it stifles your ability to change your thoughts very consciously. So as we have said at the beginning of this conversation, the fifth dimension is based on love and unity, where you begin to realize that you are not separate from the source of your being, and that you were created in love and magnificent light. So in this creative process, you use love not so much as an emotion, but as a very powerful creative force. Love that comes from source is a creative energy. And in fifth dimension, that creative force is one of the primary ways in which you are capable of realizing a bigger picture of yourself, having more respect and value for yourself, having the ability to manage your thoughts because you're paying attention, manage your emotion, practice using the emotion of confident, certain, happy, pleased with yourself when you have accomplished something you set out to do. This is a fifth dimensional way of creating, because the element of love is always present. And you know yourself intimately as a creation of the source of your being.
Thank you. Secondly, this person writes in and has a question, and she starts by saying, there is no judgment involved here. She says,
good.
Yeah, that was a great way to start, wasn't it? I keep hearing that people who have incarnated at this special time in Earth's history have done so to be a part of the ascension process. Why, I definitely can feel this pull myself. What is happening with the millions of other people on Earth who are still asleep? Are they simply unable to rise up? And why, or are they here for another purpose? Just asking.
Well, first of all, you are all here for the same purpose, to ascend into not a higher, but a more refined level of consciousness while you are in a body. You are in the midst of changing the vibration and the frequency of your body into that more refined state of consciousness. And even those who are still fast asleep in this process will come into this process. There are many, many of you who have been on an ascension path for a very long time. You are the way showers. You are the ones that set the energetic template for others to follow. Just by your presence and the light that you hold and the vibration that you hold, the kindness that you show others on a day-to-day basis, the kindness you show yourself, and you model that, and then others see that. They observe the way you live your life, the way you conduct yourself. And because of that, they follow suit. They admire that because there is such peace and tranquility when they are around you. Such love. They can't put that into words, or they may not fully acknowledge that. But that's what's happening. And therefore, they start to create their life differently because you are modeling that fifth dimension. You are modeling love. You are modeling kindness, appreciation, confidence. So as you do that, then when they go into their relationships and their different groups of friends, they begin to model it. And those friends begin to take note and say, wow, he or she has changed. How calm they are. How pleasant to be around them. And I so appreciate their kindness. So it's a domino effect. And at a certain juncture, and many of you have heard of this, there is a point at which the numbers have increased to such an extent that you have this massive effect on those that are asleep. And they call that, I'm sure you have heard of this, the 100 monkey, or this grand surge of consciousness that almost magically happens. And all those asleep are brought in at the level of those of you that have worked so diligently and so long to create that pathway for others.
Thank you. The message, just don't give up.
Correct. Tenacity.
That wonderful word keeps coming back. This is very complicated, so I'll try to make sure that I capture the whole question. It says, can we please ask the archangels or the masters about the balancing of unconditional love and the thieves in the temple, quote from Yeshua, and the sun gives life yet can burn. Are there certain times to call out our own special defense? Question. And then a second one is, I strongly believe unconditional love is a higher human destiny and quest. I understand it exists without polarity. But in 3D, if we just keep resonating the best we can, does the divine order sort it out? What's the best way to do the right thing for myself and others? It's been quite an upward journey these past few months after I have left someone to follow my own spirit path.
Well, unconditional love is the same as that element of love, a very powerful creative force. Unconditional love is given freely. It's not just an emotion. There's no judgment there. It doesn't mean that you don't see the anomalies that are playing out, or the fragmentation, or the misaligned energies. But pay attention to yourself, what's going on within you. Is there judgment there? This is what robs you. It robs you of your true essence, and that is love, whether the judgment be of yourself or if it be of another. Doesn't mean that you don't notice if another person is causing injury, is gossiping, or is acting out hurtfully, say in the workplace. So it's just in that noticing and then filling that space with light. You have choice here in every single event that happens. The primary thing that I would ask you to do in these cases is to get in that neutral space where you aren't reacting with negative thoughts or emotions. And just be in a very neutral space. And then call forth that love, that element of love. Fill yourself with it. And begin to transmit it. You don't have to say anything. Never take anything personally, even if it is directed at you, because it's just another's perception, another's opinion that is usually gauged from some judgment within themselves. So when you can see that, you are able to hold your center in your heart and not react. Now, that said, it doesn't mean that you have to remain in situations that are abusive or that draw from your energy in one way or another. It is up to you to summon your courage and to move away. It is not your responsibility to save that person from themselves. It is only your responsibility to be the love that you were created in and transmit that as best that you can. Now, when you say the universe will sort it out or the divine source of your being will sort it out, every soul embodied in a body is responsible for their life. And the way in which they create their life and experience it. It is not your responsibility. So in that respect, it has nothing to do with you. What is most important is for you to pay attention to you, to love yourself, to be aware of your thoughts and your feelings, and as best you can, have compassion and shine your light in the darkness. And perhaps it will help someone. But it is not your job to save them from themselves. It is their job, just as you have taken the steps, and it has not been an easy journey. This step into consciousness is not easy, because as you start to change your patterns of belief, your patterns of using your thoughts and your emotions, things will come up and surface for you to look at that are out of resonance with your divinity. And sometimes those things that come up are very painful and they hurt your heart. Some of you have had rough upbringings where there wasn't a lot of love in your home, and you were modeled things that were in complete opposition to who you are at a soul level. But you have had the strength and the courage and the grace that is given to you from the source of your being to make the changes that are needed. And yes, that road is often difficult. But the light at the end is so brilliant, it's unmistakable. And if you follow that, you will soon learn very quickly that the only place for you is in your heart and in the love that you are, in the love that is always flowing through your crown into you from the source of your being. You are never left bereft. You have many angels around you. We masters are teachers and guides, and when you call us forth, we will not interfere. But if you ask, we will show you a different way, and you will soon learn that peace within your heart is a most profound, quiet space that is always open to you. And things will change dramatically. And what you found difficult, the path becomes much smoother. It becomes much easier. And you become calm and peaceful, joyful, harmonious. You begin to love your life. But it is in the changes that you are called upon to make that result occurs.
Thank you. And we have one last question, and it's short. This caller writes in, how does tension relate to creation? Now, we've been taught that it takes intention and attention to manifest a creation. Coincidentally, phonetically speaking, of course, the word tension is part of both of those. So is tension necessary to create as well?
Tension is not necessary to create. In fact, it is a tension in the body through the thoughts that you think or the worry that you have when you're worried about something. It limits your ability to create and manifest what is needed in the moment. And then that in itself creates thoughts and emotions around that, where you are a victim of your circumstance, You cannot create anything else. So limit the tension in the body by limiting thoughts that are negative, thoughts that are judgmental, emotions that are not in that more refined range. And you will find that then when you pay attention, place your attention on what it is that is needed in the moment, and you have a specific intention of what that is that you want to manifest, and you keep that in the forefront of your consciousness, and then you know it within the core of your being. You know it, that you can create that. You see it. You can see it already materializing. So this is the value of intention and attention. You keep yourself conscious of it, and you draw to you what is needed in the moment.
Thank you. So now let's see if we can get the rest of the group going here. And we're now live with a Q&A, so *6 and 1, and we're ready to go. Here we are right here. You're on with Master Katumi. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
Yeah. Hello. I have a question that relates a lot to everything that you've just been talking about. The message is amazing tonight, so thank you. It speaks directly to me. Specific question is, well, first I will give myself, before I get into what I perceive as my struggle, I will give myself credit and say that I've been doing really good in making leaps and bounds as far as changes in my consciousness and in my body lately. So I'll start with a positive. Right now, what's coming up for me to look at is my interactions and communication with other people. I'm having trouble discerning. I feel self-doubt after I've had an interaction with people many times because I'm not sure if I was being assertive and speaking my truth or just being right or justifying or being in 3D. I just doubt myself. Did I say the right thing or handle that the best way? And it seems to just be a theme for me right now is learning to appropriately interact with others who maybe may not be as aware or on the same page as me.
Well, so and that those are challenges when you mm-hmm. are having to interact with people that are not on the same vibratory level or awareness level. First of all, the judgment, self-judgment, is so destructive. You know within the heart of your being how you should conduct yourself in a loving way. And when you have to set a boundary or you have to be assertive. And you must let go of that judgment that you are acting inappropriately, unless you notice that you are. And then just notice. Don't judge it, good or bad. Just notice. So the next time that situation arises, you can make a different choice. If the event has already happened, it's done. But it provides you information on a different choice. It's as simple as that. But most of all, you have to trust yourself. When you are always in your heart, you are acting appropriately. And there are times when you have to be assertive. It doesn't mean that you have to be angry about it, or that you have to be throw emotions, be passive-aggressive. These are things that that don't serve you. But I would encourage you to limit your judgment and just notice. Take a deep breath and be very calm and just trust yourself that you have done enough clearing, that you are aware enough that you will conduct yourself in the appropriate response with the appropriate actions that are always tempered with compassion.
Thank you so much. That was awesome. I have another quick question that related to something you said earlier. You earlier said that we were created in the image of Source, and how could we not be, you know, amazing? And I've always kind of wondered, who did create us? Was it the creator gods that ended up creating anomalies? What did they create? Did they create humanity, or how does
your
that
soul
all?
Was your soul was created by Prime Creator in the image of Creator, in that love, undifferentiated love and undifferentiated light. Now, does that make you perfect when you are in a third dimensional body, in a third dimensional arena? There are many times you will miss the mark because of the denseness of the environment. And that's the beauty of this ascension process. Because when you, as the human, the Christed being that you were originally created to be, are in that state, then you are in that perfect image. But the body is limiting, and often you miss the mark. But cultivating that Christ consciousness within you and then transmitting it into the earth, so the earth energies raise and the vibration of the earth becomes more coherent, more vibrant, and refined, then the earth energy supports you as the individual creator on earth. So there is this beautiful resonance that is being created now by each and every one of you as you lead your life in that fifth dimensional template. That's the basis, the love and the unity consciousness. And the knowledge of yourself as that Christed being, where you transmit that light energy, that love energy to others, and you transmit it to Mother Earth so that she then supports you as you create more and more and more in that image.
Thank you. I appreciate
you
that.
You're very welcome.
You're next on with Master Katumi. Hello.
Sorry. Hi.
Yes, I can.
Okay, so my question is about things that are coming up for us, and I usually am able to hold a pretty good vibration, but I'm noticing, especially in just today, for some reason, that fear has come up, and just like really intense fear like I've never really experienced, and just remembering to, you know, work with various tools and clearing it and making sure it's not mine and trying to stay out of judgment and keep coming back to the center and to my heart and breathing. And at some point I just realized that I'm not just doing this for me. There's a reason I'm doing this. I'm doing it for other people. And am I kind of just dreaming that, or do I really...
No.
Is that...
You are...
No.
You are very accurate, dear one. These times in which you walk the earth are not easy. because you have a set, you are part of the collective consciousness of humanity worldwide. You are not separate from that consciousness. You have a human body. You are on the earth. So you are bombarded on a daily basis by a lot of negativity coming from that collective consciousness, not necessarily in your direct environment, but worldwide. There is such fear, misunderstanding, such separation consciousness that is continually generated in many factions throughout the world. So for you as the individual to hold that center is very admirable amongst any obstacle. And when you take private time daily to connect through your heart with the source of your being, to connect with the archangels, your guardian angels, your guides, to open your crown and receive the undifferentiated light from the creative realms, from Source, to receive grace. There is such a thing that Archangel Michael gave to humanity a few years back, and it is a shield of light that would help each and every one of you. It is composed of courage, tenacity, and love. And when you call upon Michael to shield you with his shield, it limits the bombardment of those negative creative energies that are stemming from a portion of the collective consciousness that is still fast asleep and is ignorant of what they are creating. So you know within your heart, dear one, that fear was not yours, wasn't coming from you, because you've never experienced that. Now, if the fear has been a recurrent thing that you, as a result of events in your life, that's another story. But the fear you have communicated to me and the depth of it is a collective fear.
Yes, and it was hard to differentiate it because there were things, as you were telling another caller, that had come up that I was just thinking is, you know, it's something from my past that's coming up. But it was so hard to try to decide which this was, so I just had to work with both and handle it as if some of it may be mine and clear it, and to try to, you know, rectify it from a perspective of what am I receiving that's not mine. But either way, it needed to be, you know, dealt with. So I just felt like it, that was what I was being, you know, kind of put to the test to do, but it was just particularly difficult today, so I just wanted to ask about that.
Well, you are very wise, and you have to trust that. And you did. You acted appropriate. You did exactly what you were called upon to do. And that's what all of you are called upon to do. Some days are just going to go along much easier than others. But when you run across things as you did today, and you took the appropriate action, you changed a lot for a lot of people.
Okay. Well, thank you. I sure appreciate your insight and very much appreciate you.
You are very welcome.
Okay.
Hello, you're next on with Astra Kit.
Good evening.
Hello.
Thank you for your message. We appreciate it. I have a two-part question. I'm asking for advice on raising very young children that have been born after 2012 who are showing signs of advanced spiritual awareness and sensitivities, and A, how to cultivate that openness beyond leading by example, and how to teach boundaries yet stay grounded, and B, how to sustain that gateway of openness despite, you know, toxic interpersonal relationships and in a society that's repelling this type of being and thinking. And that's my question.
It is a very good question, because a lot of parents are coming up against that as these new children are born, because they are they're a light in the darkness. So, first of all, it's in keeping the lines of communication open, setting the boundaries before the event happens. And this limits that conflict within the relationship. So if they are aware and are old enough to understand that these are the rules for the household, and give them those rules in loving ways, and explain to them how it benefits the whole family unit by creating a calmness, creating love in their environment, and also explain when they don't adhere to those parameters of acting in a family unit in love, that there are results of those infractions. And so when they know ahead of time, outside of the emotional reaction that occurs when there's conflict or when they have acted inappropriately, then you can very calmly draw their attention to it and say, ask them, do you think this was appropriate, or do you think this helped the love in our family? Do you think it helps create happiness in our household? If they are old enough, if they are too young, then that's another story. But from what you have said to me, if they are aware of their actions, they are aware enough to ask questions. Always be open to the question and answer that question honestly. Short, don't give them too much information, but it's in that constant creating the conversation daily. Short, it doesn't have to be long, but it's in that communication, that spending quality time. And I know you have busy lives, but just these short little increments build a coherent environment. And yes, there will be times when there is upset in that environment because you are in a physical world and all is not perfect. But you are aware enough and sensitive enough that you recognize that these children are different. So you cannot treat them as babies, because they do have an innate awareness and a beautiful intelligence. So always speak to them at that intelligent level in love. But don't be afraid to set boundaries, because those also are needed. But the boundaries, as I have said, are set in a communication when the situation is not inflamed, when it is quiet and calm, and you can converse and ask their input, what would they do to make it better? These types of things. That stimulates their creativity and feeling a part that they have, they can make decisions too.
Yeah, it's a delicate balance. And not to get too personal, but I have a 2.5-year-old, so you have to give them some, you know, flexibility, because they're dealing with emotions on a different level. But I have, the other parent is just completely on a different, totally different vibration. And it's going to be a source of pain for her, but she's so aware of, she sees things, she says that she sees, you know, like different realms. And I want to keep that open for her, you know, and not close that aspect of her.
Of course. Of course.
But the society doesn't cultivate that kind of thinking. I think eventually it will, but yeah, it's just hard to retain a balance of that.
Of course it is. But the one thing that you have to keep in mind here, even especially with a two-year-old, because the emotions are just all over the board sometimes, and you can't respond to an emotion that is triggered by a reaction, because then when you react, it just increases the result of that action, and you get into a negative flow of emotional responses. So it's just important that you do not react when the child is reacting. Take a deep breath and just say, we need a moment now. Be quiet. Or put them in a timeout if they are inappropriately reacting with an emotion of anger or a temper tantrum or those types of things. But don't argue with them.
Right. Well, I'm in like the midst of a spiritual awakening, so there's multi challenges going on there, but
I'm sure
the best that we can.
Yes, and some days are better than others, and a 2-year-old is quite challenging because they are learning about that they do have choices.
Yes.
And they are often in reaction.
Right.
So it's in you cultivating a center of calm within yourself and responding appropriately.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You're very welcome. As you progress on this journey of transformation, thoughts and emotions are primary. In your physical body, you have 3 examples of your physicality. You have your physical body, you have your etheric body, and you have a mental emotional body. That mental emotional body is how you create. This is where you create, through your thoughts and your feelings or your emotions. So in order to be able to maintain a fifth dimensional state of consciousness on a regular basis in a very coherent manner, it's essential that you have sovereignty over your mental emotional body in that physical part of you. So it's in being aware, dear ones, I cannot stress this enough, of your thoughts and your feelings, that you have preference. There are preferences that each one of you have, and they're all different, that you consistently use certain thoughts and certain emotions throughout the day. And it is being aware of that. Oftentimes, you are thinking, even when you're doing repetitive actions, such as dressing in the morning, brushing your teeth, there is a thought there. So start to pay attention to the thoughts that you consistently think and the preferences that you have when you use the emotional body. This is how you gain not control, because you do not want to stifle your creativity or your emotions, but you have sovereignty. You conduct yourself in ways that you are aware of every thought that you think, every emotion that you feel. Now, you can't just all of a sudden say, I'm going to pay attention to every thought I think. Within an hour, you're going to be exhausted, because that takes time to cultivate that type of awareness. But through tenacity and diligence, you can create that for yourself. You can create mastery in your physicality, in your mental emotional body, and your creations will amaze you. The power of your creative ability when you have sovereignty over your emotional and your mental body will amaze you.
Okay, your next thought with Master Katumi. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for being here. I have a question about the soul and soul extensions and soul shards. Kind of like the term, what do the terms refer to? Earlier you said that our souls were created by a prime creator. And my understanding is that the soul takes on countless embodiments. So
correct.
I am an embodiment of my soul, and there has been countless embodiments. But then a soul extension, what does that refer to? Is that another part of the same soul, or is that one of the embodiments?
It's part of the same soul. It's, let me put it this way. You are a collective consciousness. That is your nature. You are a collective consciousness that reflects the consciousness of Source. And you're totally not aware of that in most cases. But you are an individual expression of that divinity as you navigate a soul expression. That's why you come into various embodiments, is to experience at a soul level certain dimensions, certain environments, such as the earth. So these soul extensions are iterations of you at that spirit level, at the bigger collective level. In the bigger scheme of things, there is no past, there is no future. It's all in the present. The awareness of having a past and a future is a third dimensional time sequence, the way in which time is thought of. So as you evolve and you come into that fifth dimensional realm, it is more circular in nature, and you are able to maintain an awareness in the present moment. So these various iterations of yourself or soul extensions are aspects of you that is gathering experience in different realms, in different dimensions, and in different frequency ranges. So you may have an iteration that is in another dimension simultaneously in the present. You may have an iteration that is on another planet or in another country. And each one of those iterations affect the other through that experience and the choices that are made. It's all part of this magnificent tapestry of who you are and the mastery that you carry from different experiences.
So this collective consciousness would include every embodiment that my soul has ever had, and the soul extensions, which would
correct.
Then be, let's say, thousands or lifetimes.
Correct.
Absolutely
correct.
Is this
as it relates to you? Now, there are various souls that come together in various collective consciousness. They are not individual representations, but they are of a massive collective consciousness, more massive collective consciousness, where many souls are involved.
I see. So they're like layers upon layers of collective consciousness.
Correct. Massive, massive. So you of yourself are a massive consciousness. Source consciousness.
And if I then, as I am able to access the causal body, are all of the experiences of all of these soul extensions then available in that causal body?
Depending on the dimension and the state of consciousness of that individual expression, the causal body relates to a specific individual expression in a certain state of consciousness. So when you say you can recover memory of master imprints, it relates to this specific iteration. However, it is colored by the various iterations of you at that complete level. So the mastery imprint that you are able to remember at any given time is more massive than you might perceive when you first begin to recognize it. So it's important that you let it evolve and manifest as it will, because it is always colored by the more collective part of you.
Interesting. And when people refer to soul shards, what does that term refer to?
I am not familiar with that, because it denotes a fragmentation.
Yeah.
And at that level, there is no fragmentation. It's pure soul consciousness.
Okay. Very interesting. Thank you so much for your clarification.
You are very welcome.
Hello. You're next on with Master Katumi. Hello.
So I'm sorry. My question is, how do we know when our mental and emotional body are coming back together?
You will have coherency in and consistency in the way in which you use your mental and emotional body. When you have removed some of the fragmentation, cleared some of the anomalies, then you will have a coherent use of that mental and emotional body that is directed consciously by you. And the more that you notice that, then you know that you have healed a portion and cleared a portion of that fragmentation. It's an ongoing process.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're next on with Master Katumi. Hello.
Hello. I would like to ask Master Katumi, how many soul extensions do we have in one, for example, in this lifetime?
It depends on the individual. No.
Beg your pardon?
No, there is not a specific number. Each individual, each divine expression in a body is an individual. And so it is the number of soul extensions in any given life experience varies from individual to individual.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. These have been wonderful questions, because they really relate to what's going on with each one of you in the present moment. Your struggles and your triumphs. This is something you need to notice often, your triumphs, how you have overcome some of the anomalies, things you have put in place to remind you to be aware and conscious. Beautiful, beautiful questions.
You're next on with Master Katumi.
Greetings, Katumi. This is Joe.
Hello, Joe.
Hello. Hey, all of the questions about soul extensions just made me curious. So is it possible for two people to have a soul extension of the same individual. For example, you know, Yeshua told me that I was his brother James, but is it possible for somebody else to be walking around with like a similar part of that soul and they were also Yeshua's brother James? Something like that. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. But it makes sense from a dimensional perspective. And what is not fully understood, nor can be very easily understood at this juncture, is that soul extensions and what you consider past life's events, such as being the brother of Yeshua, is a composite of collective consciousness. That's what I was talking about in that bigger picture. You have soul iterations that relate to you as the individual, but then you have a bigger collective consciousness that relates
right.
to many. So you can't specifically say, I was this with a name and a specific personality. You had an iteration of that consciousness that came from the collective. It's very hard to get the rational mind to understand that because it's such a vast, you are a vast part of source energy that it's very difficult to fully understand the massiveness and comprehend how that fits with you as that individual expression of the divine.
Okay. Actually, that sort of makes more sense to me. And I can't explain it, but with all this conversation, that's what I started to suspect, and that's why I asked the question, and you clarified that. So thank you.
You are very welcome. It was an excellent question because it is sometimes confusing, and when people become aware that they were a certain, in history, perhaps, a certain individual, does not mean that they are just that. That they are composite of a collective consciousness that resonated in a certain way on Earth and a certain time sequence.
I see. Thank you very much for shedding some light on that.
You are very welcome.
Hello.
Hi, yes. Okay, well, I have a question, and that is that I feel called now, I'm in my 60s, to branch out into a more spiritual, metaphysical career and focus on my work as a Reiki master, master and astrologer and meditation guide and sacred singer instructor. And at the same time, I'm struggling with, you know, paying bills. So, and I've recently moved from one state to another. So I just would like some guidance during this time of transition.
Well,
hello?
Are often difficult to get adjusted to. The main thing here is for you to focus your attention on you and nurture yourself as you transition from one environment to another. The other is in developing your skills. If you are desiring to go into a more spiritual venue and direct your attention into one or two related fields so that you can develop yourself in that field from your master imprints that lie within you and get in touch with the interior of you through your thoughts and your feelings, but spending that quiet time with and drawing out of yourself where your skills lie, where your heart resonates with a certain path, and not choose several, but one or perhaps two where you can develop the skill very proficiently and be of service to others as well as to yourself, because your self-development must come first.
Yes, understood. You're confirming what I've been contemplating, and that's wonderful to get the confirmation. I also hear in your advice that that I may be not focused enough on, and I may be trying to do too much. That I'm diversifying. Yes, I agree with that as well. I'm noticing that in myself as well. Do you have any sense? Go ahead.
You cannot sacrifice your own transformation for developing what you perceive as spiritual gifts that you want to share with others. Here again.
Yes, yes. Yes, I can only teach who I am.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah.
And it's,
you're on
you.
The right path. Just, you know, keep on, be diligent, and be very introspective, and you will be fine.
Thank you so much.
You are very welcome.
You're next up with Master Katumi.
Hello, Master Katumi. My question is, you said earlier, if you could talk more about it, take nothing personally. That was, wow, a wow for me. So please speak more about that.
Well, where you get into trouble emotionally in your male emotional body is when someone says something to you, and you, or event happens in a relationship or in the course of your day, and you take it as a personal affront. So what is it inside of you that relates to that or judges yourself as somebody else's perception that really stems from something within them? So when you can stay in that neutral place and not take it personally as a personal affront or an attack on your integrity, then you are in a state of peace. And you can ask yourself, does this, whatever this person said or did, does this apply to me? Go into that sacred heart space. Does this apply to me? And that quiet little voice will never lie to you, and take that first answer. And most often you will find the answer is no. Am I that? No. And if it is yes, have the courage to look at it and where you have taken a wrong step, not a wrong step, but a misstep, a place that you could improve, but not judge yourself, but maybe work to a little improvement. So it's in not taking it as a that personal affront that you can see much clearer and respond appropriately.
So in that moment when the interaction happens, I'm not that quick, I guess, you know, to, or I'm like, what just was said? Or is that really me? So is it best just to say nothing? I mean, what, in that
sometimes,
moment?
Yeah, sometimes you can say, if you don't have a response, you say nothing.
Right.
Or you say, thank you for your opinion, because that's what it is. So, and I will think about that.
I will think about that. Okay.
Or I will consider this, what you said. Thank you for your
mm-hmm.
input. And
mm-hmm.
that's all you need to do.
And if it's nonverbal, what's your advice? If you're in a situation and feeling the energy of the group or the family event or whatever, and it's the same process. Say, what I'm feeling, is this mine? Is that correct?
Correct. What I am feeling, does this belong to me? And most often, the answer will be no.
Okay.
And so sometimes you can just by making a comment or changing the subject of what is being spoken about changes the energy. Or making a suggestion, hey, have you considered maybe we should do this
or something to that effect that is more lighthearted. And sometimes mm-hmm. there's nothing that you can do.
Well, that's how I felt Sunday. It was a family event.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there at the brunch going, wow, this is really difficult.
Well, yes, families teach you a lot, don't they?
Mm-hmm, for sure. Thank you. I appreciate your advice.
You are very welcome. We have time for one more question.
Okay, last caller. You're on with Master Kathumi. Hello.
Hi. I have a question again about the soul extensions because it's really fascinating. And it relates to the master imprints in our causal body. Our mm-hmm. ultimate ability to navigate multidimensionally and to use time in different ways, not just linear time, but circular, simultaneous, et cetera. And when you were talking about the soul extensions, I was seeing kind of a connecting web between this kind of small collective of soul extensions, and then that web was kind of like a node that was connected to other groups of soul extensions to create even a bigger web work, and then that was created, went out bigger so that you had like a mega network and on out. Now, I was wondering that, let's say one of my soul extensions, hypothetically, or let's say there's a person and one of his or her soul extensions, hypothetically, is on Sirius. So currently, as we think of it in this time-space, is in a much different dimensional realm than the earthly body. And that same person, let's say, identifies with a soul extension way back in the enlightened times of Atlantis, where they had a lot of master imprints. Would I be right in saying that if this person, through meditation, clearing, et cetera, raises their vibration enough so that they can consciously and intentionally navigate, you know, choose which dimensional realms they navigate to, that let's say they can raise their vibration so they can reach into those higher dimensions, that they'll then be able to pull some of the master imprints in from that soul extension that's currently on Sirius. Whereas, you know, when they're third, fourth, fifth dimension, that might be beyond them. But if they learn how to navigate into those higher dimensions, they'll be able to pull those master imprints in, and then they'll get filtered down into the fifth dimension and then have some usability there. Or that if they learn how to navigate time in a nonlinear way, that they'll kind of collapse the present time with what we call the past of Atlantis and be able to pull the master imprints in from that soul extension. And even though they may not access them 100%, some of them will be filtered through and be able to be anchored in the fifth dimension and have some usability, if that makes any sense.
It makes perfect sense. However, you have to take into consideration that the body that most of you occupy is a third dimensional body, and it has absolutely no resonance whatsoever energetically or consciously to have any benefit from that, because mm-hmm. the third dimensional body is that limiting. However, you at that soul level have a consciousness and do benefit by it, but the ability to compress those more refined dimensional time sequences and events or soul imprints in the body is negligible until you've consistently raised your consciousness into that more, into a fifth dimension, but more, not the beginning stages, more the mid to complete stages of fifth dimension. But you still have to contend with the transformation of that, of the body itself at the cellular level. And what is in your favor here is because you have developed over many years of practice more coherency in you, in your consciousness and in your body, to where you have the ability to have a portion of your light body fully activated. And that will help you pull some of those master imprints more proficiently. However, it will not allow you at this juncture to pull the full experience of the higher dimensional realms of the Golden Age of Atlantis.
So there's this gap there that even with work will kind of be unbridgeable.
Correct.
Now, what about reincarnating at this time? Yeah.
Yeah. What about reincarnating?
Well, I know that some people will drop the body and then reincarnate into, you know, the newer, you know, Ferrari model that's, you know, nice and shiny 5D body. When somebody's in that kind of body, will they be able to bridge that gap, or is there still too much of a gap in a lot of cases?
It's still a big gap. It is, in this particular time sequence, in the individual expression, it's quite a gap. And in taking on another body, say a fifth-dimensional body, and developing that fifth-dimensional body, lessens the gap and allows you to draw certain aspects of that into your awareness.
Okay, thank you.
You are very welcome. This has been delightful. This conversation has been quite interesting to me, to see the level of consciousness that has been developed, that is developing in each and every one of you. Every one of you is working so diligently in your own way, in your own transformation, and you benefit each other. You benefit the whole. You are united in the element of love. You are never separated. So just as soul iterations or soul extensions benefit the all of you, so the all of you benefits the collective of humanity. I thank you for being with me this evening and asking your questions, because they benefited not just you, but they benefited everyone. I will now close our meeting, beloveds. Blessings.